Welcome to Go2Go. I'm your host, Jay Jr. This is season finale, y'all. It's Go2Go. Super Bowl edition.
Special edition.
Special edition. After the Super Bowl. I got CLB in here. Back-to-back champ.
You know I'm in the building, Go2Go. You know I'm here. Live and in full effect.
Hey,
Junior hurting.
Woo, hurting big time.
Man, he hurting. He put off the recording of this. I had to bring him back. I'm like, man, we got to finish the season.
We do.
We got to finish it. We down a man.
Ice man.
He busy. He's like, I can't even make it. I'm like, dang. People just dejected.
Man.
Well, that's what happened, boy, America.
Messing around with the Swifters.
I tried to tell y'all. If anybody's been listening the last couple of weeks, I gave you the script. Everybody says scripted. You know, it was 3 seconds on the clock when we won. Was it something else? Was a three? The address to Allegiant Stadium is 333rd North Allegiant Parkway. Three Super Bowls. It was all kind of stuff in there for the number three. I was like, ooh, that's the script then. That must be the script. You know how people, well, these analytics folks can come up with things.
Oh, yeah, all day, every day.
We had a little off camera, off recording, off wax chat. You said the 49ers blew it. I'm like, that's what you think?
Yeah, man.
We took that thing.
Man, honestly, Andy Reid just outcoached Kyle Shanahan again.
As I told you he would.
Again. That's why he had to come out swinging. Man, I thought in the beginning, I thought the 49ers were running the ball good to Christian McCaffrey fumble. First possession of the game. I thought that was a momentum. I have momentum shifting before you even touch the ball when something like that happens in my eyes, because your leader, Christian McCaffrey, fumbles the football on the biggest stage. You're like, man, that don't normally happen.
Yeah, he recovered, though. And it all evened out, because when we should have took the lead early, Pacheco fumbled. And he ain't never fumbled, right?
Right.
I think he might have one fumble in 2-3 years he's been in the league. So that equaled out. I will say it wasn't an easy win. I give 49ers credit. They could have won it. Like, they could have won the game.
They should have won.
We took the game. We stole it. We took it from them. We didn't steal it. It was, the game was up for grabs. Any team could have won. We took the game at the end. But they could have won the game.
Yeah.
They could have did some things to win. But then again, in games like this, what we're seeing is a trend now where the biggest, like the plays that you think don't matter, turn out to matter.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you got a guy open, like if there's man-to-man coverage and you throw a ball and the defensive back make a play to eliminate a touchdown, that's like a game-changing play.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, if you look in this game, it's probably 6 or 7 of those plays in this game. Now, most were made by Kansas City. But it's like 7 game-changing plays. And when you go back and look at it, that's what they're showing on all the highlights right now.
How big of it, talk about game-changing plays, how big was it when, not a play, but when Greenlaw got hurt and he didn't have to come
back?
Man,
that was just crazy. That was a non-contact injury, and you could see it on the freaking when they replayed it, that he was down. You knew it was Achilles.
Yep.
All because he slipped on the paint. Because that didn't do nothing but bring in a backup, who Kelce exposed from that point.
Yep.
9 targets, 9 receptions on the backup. You know what I mean? Like,
it was.
Now, we can assume if Greenlaw's in the game, that ain't gonna happen. However, you know, I would say we're gonna find a stride regardless. Now, again, whether we're going to win the game or not, I had already predicted that the 40, that was going to go exactly as scripted. As long as we stayed close, and when 49ers didn't take advantage in the first quarter, when they had the momentum, because I already knew they were going to come out with it. I already knew they were going to run on us because we were just going to try to fill them out. And they were going to have to score early to put pressure on us to figure it out faster.
Yep.
As long as it took for them to just kick field goals and not score, then more and more we figure like, oh, we got time to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And once we figure it out, that's all she wrote. And it took that muffed fumble for us to kick it in gear. That's when we flipped the switch. But back to your question, it was huge when Greenlaw went out.
Yeah.
Like, that was just, out of all people, that's one of the, you know, the cornerstones of their defense. Those two linebackers in tandem. Because they were swirling before that point.
Yeah.
Because that was like, what, mid of the first quarter or so? Mm-hmm. And we had maybe 2-3 drives. And we really couldn't get anything going.
Yeah.
Kelce couldn't get going. Screens weren't working. We couldn't really run the ball. And them two dudes were everywhere.
It was on it. They were definitely on it. Brock Purdy, 23 for 38, 255 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions. What did you think about Purdy's performance in the Super Bowl?
I think it was outstanding, actually. Like a lot of people, you know, saying, he just a game manager. I think under the circumstances, he made some good throws. Mm-hmm. He made some decisions. The times that he didn't connect with great defensive plays.
Yeah.
I think he had an excellent game. And that has nothing to do with when he was drafted or where he was drafted. I think the way the game, their game plan, he made some good throws. I think he's better than Garoppolo. I think he's mid-tier. I think he played just as good without run game. So eliminate, remove runs. From a Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen who would add that element. Mm-hmm. So let's just say a Burrow or a Goff or a Stafford who don't run.
Right.
If you throw any one of them in the game, in that game, mm-hmm. I think they come out with the same numbers. Mm. I don't see an upgrade from any other of those, like, pocket quarterbacks.
Even Matthew Stafford?
Even Stafford.
Mm.
Because, I mean, the throws that Purdy were making are the same throws that Stafford could have made. I didn't really see Purdy, like, make a bad throw. He might have made one, but every quarterback, I mean, Mahomes missed one or two passes in the game.
Yeah.
That's expected. But the balls that were thrown just happened to be great defensive plays. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the ball that he threw to Debo, the post, that was just a great play by Snead.
Who?
I mean, by McDuffie.
Who? Debo?
Samuel. The ball that was thrown to him on the post that McDuffie knocked down.
Debo that didn't step up in the game and play. Debo did all that talking and it just didn't show
Debo
up.
Debo got shut down. Debo was there. He just got shut down, dude. I already told you we're gonna put McDuffie on Samuel. We're gonna put Snead on Ayuk. They might switch up here and there, but primarily that's where we're going. And McDuffie just took Debo out of the game.
And I told y'all the week before that, I thought Kittle needed to have a big game. Kittle, 3 targets, 2 catches, 4 yards. Like, come on, man. That's what I'm telling y'all. Kittle is a, and you think.
So here's what I don't understand.
Top 10 tight end.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't know if it was a game plan thing that they didn't get him involved, or was a defensive scheme not opening him up. One thing we do know is, they're not going to force feed Kittle. Like, Kansas City is going to force feed Kelce.
And they should.
They're going to, no matter who's on him, no matter if he's bracketed, we give him the autonomy to change the route. Kittle don't have that. So you can't expect Kittle to come in there and perform and match Kelsey's output. because he doesn't have the decision-making approval to change routes like Kelce does. So to expect him to match him catch for catch, it ain't going to work.
I ain't expecting that, but I'm expecting a better game. Especially
well, but he has to be in the game plan. Maybe the defense didn't allow for him to get open.
But once again, bad coaching job by Shanahan. If they're taking Debo away and they're taking Ayuk away, you have to have a backup plan for Kittle to get open. You have to have plays.
If you got Christian Mack, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, Kittle's your fourth option.
Yeah. But you're just telling me y'all took Debo away. Y'all took Ayuk away.
Yep.
McCaffrey was getting his. It's Kittle's turn in the passing game, though.
So I'll have to go back and pay attention. I mean, I know Kittle does a lot in the run game, trying to seal the edge. You know, that's what he does. Seal the edge.
He's not a top 10 tight end.
I mean,
he's not.
I just threw that in there for the 49er fans who used to try to say that he was better than Kelce because he could block. But blocking don't win you Super Bowls, as you can see. You gotta perform. You gotta have routes. You gotta have packages that feature you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if San Fran has packages that feature him or not. Or maybe they were trying, maybe the formations were there for him to go do his thing, but maybe we didn't allow it. Maybe we scouted well. And didn't let him out. Maybe our linebackers just played great coverage. Maybe we bracketed him. Maybe we went man on them guys like Debo and Nas, which you can do with Snead and McDuffie, and left everybody there and said, wherever Kittle's is, just follow him. Maybe he just didn't get open. I don't know.
They was going to Greg Jennings. Juwan Jennings, I'm sorry.
Juwan, yep.
Juwan got off. I thought he should have had more targets. He only had five. He caught four of his targets, so.
Yeah, that's the one that we probably said allowed to beat us. That we got, we're not going to let your main guys beat us.
And they tried to force it in.
Here's the one that if you can find him, this will be the guy that we will let get off. And that's the one that got off. But, you know, he's the one also threw the touchdown over to McCaffrey, which that kind of showed their hand. They're like, oh, they're going to trick plays already?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. They're a little nervous.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do with Super Bowl. On the Chiefs, a lot of speculation going in there. And this week was Kadarius Toney going to play.
Yeah, I knew he would. Well, I didn't know it. I didn't think he would because bringing him back, he ain't important enough to have. Like, McCole Hardman can do what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So when they brought McCole back, I knew that Tony probably wasn't going to see the field again because they trust McCole Hardman way more than they trust him. And we just found out McCole Hardman can do what you can do. So Tony won't wear a Chiefs uniform again. He gone. There's no reason to have him.
Y'all already struggling that wide out.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they bring him back. I don't know. But I just, if they re-sign McCole Hardman, because he's going to be a free agent, they bring him back, which they probably should, because he, you can still develop him. He's still young. He knows the offense. He has the right attitude.
He playing the return game for you too.
Yep, and he can be a returner because you don't. I don't know if Richie James coming back, right? So between Richie James and Tony, it's going to be one of them coming back or both. Neither one of them coming back, right? So, I didn't think Tony was going to play, and then when they announced it, I'm like, it makes sense. We really don't need him.
No, y'all really didn't need it. So, we get into this whole overtime thing I want to talk about. 49ers didn't know the rule, man. This is what...
Now, that's inexcusable. Now, that's the one thing that I cannot make an excuse for them for. Is not knowing the overtime rule.
Not to mention, the referee does say the rule right then and there before he flips the coin.
Yep.
So clearly he ain't paying attention.
And then ask you, are you sure? And they're like, yeah, we want the ball.
We want the ball.
I'm like, all right, take it. All we got to do is stop you I mean, we had them stop.
Yeah.
And then they called that hook on McDuffie, which was a good call. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do like last year when the world was upset.
Yeah.
When Juju. Yeah, when they hooked Juju. Oh, that was, you got to let that go. It's just funny how all those things came back. That we got that call called on us. The overtime rules was changed because of us. And we use those rules to our benefit. You know what I'm saying? Like they take a third down play off the board and give them a first down. We clearly had them stopped in overtime. We could have won that game earlier than we did. But yeah, them not knowing it, dude, that's just crazy. Crazy.
Crazy, man.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to get into it. And then they go fire old Steve Wilks.
Oh.
And he didn't make that call. He didn't want it. He's not responsible for making sure they're ready to play with the rules in overtime.
Remember I told you, I don't know, what week was that? Week 10. I talked to my boy that was a 49er fan. And he was telling me that Steve Wilks. And he was like, I got to keep my eye on that.
Yeah, I talked to another 49er fan. And he said he'd been... They ain't liked him all year, really.
Yep.
Like, but again, though. So he said they ain't liked him all year. Defense has not lived up to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't a good fit. I'm like, well, if he's a more aggressive guy and your talent plays more zone, then why the heck did they hire him then? How was he a fit to begin with? If he's a more aggressive guy, he wants to blitz.
Yeah.
And Shanahan don't like blitzes. Then why'd you hire him? Why'd you waste a year bringing him in if the talent don't mix? You see what I'm saying? Why you get another guy? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you knew somebody was getting fired for the way they lost.
Oh, yeah.
Shanahan just make sure it wasn't him. Hey, or John Lynch or whoever made the call.
John Lynch ain't going to get it. Ain't going to be fired.
No, I'm just saying, whoever. Unless John Lynch made the call to say, you either fire him or we're going to have to look at you. Because to me, Shanahan's the one that's falling short.
Man, every single time, man. Every single time. But he's such a good coach, I think. I think he's just a good.
Supposed to be an X and O's guy. Against everybody except Steve Spagnuolo. He's a great X and O's guy.
Mm. Spags, when he gonna get some looks at for a head coacher?
He ain't, because we just re-signed him. We just gave him an extension.
I remember it was a while back when Spags was like, he might not be around.
The morning of the parade.
Oh.
Wednesday. We extended him. So he gonna be around in D.C. another at least 3 years.
Because
I think it's a 3-year extension.
Man, look.
I don't think he cares about it. I think he wants to be, but hey. He said, like, why do that when I could just keep winning Super Bowl? I got a nucleus on my team.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, my team is young.
Super young.
Like, the youngest team to win a Super Bowl last 2 years.
You're going to pay Snead.
We're going to pay Snead and Jones. Now, we're going to lose Willie Gay.
You going to tag Snead?
Well,
Jones ain't gonna play under no tag.
I don't think he gonna play under. But we just exercise an option on him, on Jones today. Right, so that removes him from being a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So we can tag him again. I think we resign both of them. But I think that's gonna leave Willie Gay out there. We're gonna lose him.
Mm.
But we already got Tranquil. But I think Tranquil might be on a 1 year.
Yeah.
But so if you put your money in resigning Tranquil to another 1 year or 2 year, then that leaves Gay out. He's expendable.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Drew will take a little pay cut anyway. Mm-hmm. Don't care about the veteran.
Yeah, I think we're gonna lose Willie. That's gonna hurt. Cause next year you gotta resign Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you gotta think who's coming up.
Kalaf is coming up.
I think he's a year after that.
But he,
a couple
he,
of
he later on down the road.
Yeah.
That boy keep getting better.
Hey, Leo Chanel, we got some dogs over there. That's a new term, dogs. We got some boys over there that are young. Like, We're doing this thing the right way. It's hurt as much as it hurt this year by not getting the wide out, but Rashee Rice stepped up. Obviously, he's our number one. You know, obviously, you got McCole, Justin Sky Watson. Moore?
What about Sky Moore?
See, he's still on rookie deal, though.
But is he going to step up?
I mean, they might give him a chance. I don't see him. Right now, I ain't even thinking about him. Because it's all the numbers game.
Yeah.
Do you have a free agent veteran that wants to come here for less money? Just willing to play for nothing for a year to try to get a ring?
Maybe OBJ?
We wouldn't take him, but one of the other ones. You know, we wouldn't take OBJ, but we'd take one of the other guys out there. Do you go and wait in the draft and get another guy like you got Rashee Rice and bring him up? Then that means guy's out. You could let Sky go. You could just wait till his contract is out, let him go. If he can't figure out a role, right? He got to figure out something. Either I go be the punt returner, or I start catching balls, something. He got to figure this out.
He went from a couple years ago to be like, you got to keep your eye on this kid. He's going to be a breakout player to, I don't think it's.
That was all the Chiefs hyping him up. He hadn't done nothing in 2 years. Other than catch the touchdown pass last year in the Super Bowl, which he was wide open. That was all play call. And failure by the Eagles to pick it up. That wasn't anything he did.
Just like McCole Hardman's.
But McCole has produced in past year.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Moore produced a little last year. You know, he overcome the fumbles on a couple kick returns, but he ain't really got open to catch no balls when it mattered, like McCole did in the Super Bowl. Like, that's what we needed, you know. But, yeah, when you think of overtime, I mean, I think everybody in America knew once they scored a field goal. When they kicked that field goal and we start converting on fourth down, it was only a matter of time before we scored. And we going for a touchdown. How was you feeling? Was you thinking that would, you know, because in my notes, I got never a doubt. It was never in doubt. Now, I was hoping that we didn't blow it and, like, jump off sides and, like, have to kick a field goal. And then it goes a sudden death. That's the only thing I was worried about. If I knew that if Mahomes can stay in rhythm and something stupid didn't happen, that he would find the right guy. But I would like to know what you were thinking. I know you was probably like, no, come on, San Fran. You probably was hollering and screaming. No,
actually, I was calm, cool, and collected, man. It was like, Mahomes about to do this thing. Ain't no way you stopping him. We've seen this story before. Over and
history
over.
About to be made.
You know, it's just like when Brady used to get the ball back. Yep. You know it's coming. And look, it might be 3rd and 20, but he about to drive this ball. He about to get this first down.
Something gonna happen, right?
Yeah. So Mahomes does got that magic. Mahomes is just—he's just straight beast, man.
Yeah, he's a beast. Like
he's a beast. He's a one man wrecking crew.
The dude, like I keep saying, like people just underestimate not only his competitiveness, but he has like your greats have the best IQ memory, like. They talk about how LeBron James can, like, after a game, during the press conference, remember when he would be in the finals, and they'd be like, walk us through that shot that somebody missed. You can be like, he can just be like, yeah, it was a this, it was 2 minutes and 1 second on the clock, and we did this, and we ran a pop out, and I'm kicking over there to Kyrie. Like, they can, like, remember every detail. That's the way Mahomes is. He can remember every detail of every big play in the game. With a photographic memory. I think that's what separates the greats from the super greats. Like somehow in their brain, however it makes them tick, they can just like the world stops, time stops, and they can just operate at a like faster than everybody else. So he knew that Bosa had been crashing down on a run all day. So he said all he had to do was wait until the right time to pull it. And what he wasn't going to do was give somebody else opportunity to drop the ball. Mm-hmm. Right? So he said, now is my time when I get an opportunity and I see if I see them linebackers turn their back and I only need 1 or 2 yards, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Like, the decision was already made. And then at a split second, he could analyze real quick and say, yep, here's my time. I'm taking off. And that's what he did. Like, only the greats can do that, right? Like,
only the greats.
Right, 399 total yards. We already talking about those plays. The 4th and 1, the 3rd and 1. Mahomes accounted for 89% of Kansas City's offense after halftime. Like, and he was involved in 89% of the plays, either running or throwing. He led the team in rushing. 266 yards of 298 yards after halftime. This is after halftime, including OT. Now I can see a little bit how you and Jay last week were saying,
Lamar's your
rating. What Lamar didn't do. Right? When I was saying, well, Lamar couldn't do it. Like, we didn't open the defense to him to do it. Mm-hmm. So I can see a little bit by what you're saying. Why you didn't take the game over? Why didn't you just run it? Forget the play call. Find a way to go get the yard. So I can see where, because Mahomes ain't kept the ball like intentionally.
Oh yeah.
In years, like, we haven't called a ball or a play for Mahomes to run since he twisted his kneecap 3 years ago. And these calls weren't designed runs for him. They were RPOs. So if you look at, especially particularly one of those plays, he kept it. Rashee Rice was sitting there open with his hands open. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have easily just dumped it to him. That play, when they run that play probably all year long, he throws it to him. But he turns up and runs. Rashee Rice see him. Yep, he about to run. Turns around and blocks his guy and able to get Mahomes an extra couple of yards. Mm-hmm. But now I see where you guys were saying that's what Lamar should have did. Now, again, I still agree. Or I still think that our defense wasn't going to allow Lamar to do that unless it was short yardage. Short yardage, he can go get a yard, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But intentionally saying, I'm going to keep the ball in my hands to ensure that we move that we get this first down and move the ball down the field. Like, I'm not going to go give no one else a chance unless we need to give them the ball. When it comes down to making the play, mm-hmm. I'm going to ensure that the play is made.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll start over. And that's what he did. First and second down, he let other people make the play. Once he hit 3rd and 4th down, money, I need the ball.
Yep, money situation.
Money situation, I'm keeping it. And then we'll start over with the downs. I'll find somebody else. If they score, they score. It's over. If we get in 3rd and 4th and 1 again, I'm the guy.
Hey,
that's exactly what you got to do.
And that's what Lamar got to do. That's what Lamar got to do.
I mean, I saw that. You know what I'm saying? You already seen the stats, right? Down 10 points in all 3 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Once we got down early, I told you, pressure bust pipes. It's just a matter of time. And I knew the defense was good enough. And I saw, I'm like, okay, we're going to make Purdy beat us. Right? I already told you that the week before. Christian Mack ain't going to beat us. Just like, we just ain't going to allow you to beat us. Like, you're going to have to make some hell of 5 plays to beat us. Which, in overtime, he did beat a man and get an extra, 10 yards down the field, set up their field goal.
Yeah.
But he was going to have to do extraordinary things to win. They just wasn't going to come out and run base, run, we going to stack it and just run down your throat. Like, we're not going to let you do that. Mm-mm. No, we're going to stop that. Purdy is going to have to step up and decide how he's going to win the game or who he's going to get to help him win the game. Like, we're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, it's funny, like, you talked about Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. So, the 2 receivers that scored in last year's Super Bowl didn't even play in this game. Neither one of them guys were suited up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we win the Super Bowl with the same doggone play.
Unbelievable, man. Mahomes back to back MVPs.
Yep.
The Chiefs back to back. Look for that 3-peat.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know, now I'm going to switch it because this is what happened the day of the parade, right? I go from being all high. Everybody was high, you know, Kansas City fans and the NFL. Everybody was finally, nothing we can do about it. Mahomes is the guy. Give him his friend. Then we get to the parade and these fools start shooting. Mm. You know what I mean? It really messed me up. Like, I was in a jacked up state, not only Wednesday, but also yesterday. Because as soon as you start thinking of, you wake up, it's like a bad dream. I wake up like, woo, we the champions. You know, you grab your phone, all the videos are flowing from mic'd up to, you know, all the calls, the broadcast calls, right? Everything, you know, that they were just replaying everything. And then it's like, dang, it's freaking active shooter at the freaking parade. The reality is, yes, this day, we're forever going to be bound to history, tied to history. After we went back to back, the parade had an active shooter. That's also tied to this freaking back to back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it. We got two young guys that was out there. It's going back and forth to whether it's a dispute, teenagers, whether they got into a dispute with each other or two groups, to where I don't understand how that resulted in them spraying the crowd.
Right?
Like, that's the part that I can't. And they won't release it because in the state of Missouri don't allow you to release information on juveniles that are being tried or held. Like, if you're being held in the state of Missouri as a juvenile, they don't release the details. Mm. So they can't release the details on how and why and their decisions on why they started shooting in the crowd.
So we might not never know.
So we'll never know. Mm. Unless somebody get in there
and leak it.
We'll never really know, right? So you don't really know if they were, you know, I'm not going to say tied to an organization or if it was intentional or did they get scared and just really young and figure out, oh, they running over there, so I'm gonna just shoot everybody over there. Like,
I don't think they got no good aim. That's probably what happened.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he running over there, I'm trying to shoot.
I do know that there's a couple of people that I know that said they were right next to people, close by people that just kind of dropped on the ground. Like, they got shot and just dropped. It was someone that I know that said that know somebody. Now, this is through a couple of third parties that a lady saw the dude. So they did get into it. Somehow they was arguing. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Stepped on my shoe or some crap like that. I don't know. You know how it go. And she said he started to pull the gun out. She's like, nah, you don't want to do that here. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to do that. And then he pulled it out anyway and started shooting. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that was a lady that got killed. I think she got shot in the stomach. I don't know. But it goes back to, why are you bringing an assault rifle to an event like this in your backpack?
It's not even no handgun.
Right. Now, that's one thing if you carry for protection reasons, and you bring a handgun just in case, but that's a handgun. It's covered. It's concealed.
Right.
But you bring a backpack with a
assault rifle.
With an assault rifle.
He was looking to do something.
Yeah. Like, you know you gonna see these dudes, right? Mm-hmm. And you gonna, you know, mow them down at the parade. Like, how stupid is that? If that's what happened. So that's where we ending this thing. It's like, we have this high that just completely, your emotions get wiped out with the lowest of the lows.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're dealing with the aftermath of that right now. You know what I mean? So, while we're trying to make, you know, it was a good day. Well, it was a good day for me. It was a good Super Bowl. Then we come back with this mess. It's just, it's hard to accept. It's hard, man. So,
yeah, man.
You know.
Well, we also had some Hall of Famers come in.
Yeah.
What do you think about this Hall of Fame class?
No. Who made it?
So we got Patrick Willis.
Yep.
49ers.
Yep.
Dwight Freeney.
Yeah.
He made it. Devin Hester.
Yep.
He made it. Andre Johnson. He made it. No, he didn't have a Hall of Fame career. I don't know what the people thinking. Julius Peppers made it.
Yep.
Pep played a long time. Stephen Michael from the Bears.
Stephen Michael. Tires. Yep.
Yeah, but
It's funny how all those guys, when they announce them, I'm like, is this the class? Mm-hmm. Like, and then I don't know, because you know the main thing about the class is like, how many times have you been on the ballot?
Right.
Are you a first time balloter, or is this your second and third? I know Hester, this is like his second or third.
Yeah.
And everybody been saying eventually Hester would get in. So I understand Hester getting in.
Hester should have been the first ballot, the way he changed the special team.
I agree with Hester. Mm-hmm. I agree with Patrick Willis.
I don't know. Patrick Willis was good. He just didn't play long enough.
Right. Freeney played a long time.
He played a long time, but he just...
I don't know what his numbers are.
His production...
And then I'm like, Andre Johnson? As a receiver? Is that coming because he went to Miami?
I don't know. But Andre Johnson did, I mean...
What I didn't do was do a lot of work to look at the stats. You see what I'm saying? It's like...
It said Johnson posted 7 seasons of 1,000 yards.
Well, I mean, if that is the standard, then you know Mike Edwards getting in.
Yeah.
He got 10.
That's what I'm saying.
But he does have a Super Bowl ring, which Andre Johnson does not.
Right.
Right? So he's getting in. So that means he should be first ballot.
Man. They just right? Made everybody in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I know. I thought this class was a little weak.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at it, I'm like, I just don't understand. Hester's the only shoe-in to me.
I think it's a little too early for Peppers.
I do too. I know where he came from.
Peppers. Peppers was good in Carolina.
Like, which one of these guys actually have a Super Bowl ring? Hester? Does he have one? He don't have one. McMichael had one.
Yeah.
Freeney.
Yeah, he's got one.
That's it. So the rest of those guys don't even have Super Bowl rings. That's the part I don't understand. I was truly confused that night when they announced it. I'm like, are these the guys?
Guys,
but man. I didn't get a chance to go back and see all the other eligibles, right? Mm-hmm. That could have made it. I'm like, why we chose these guys?
I don't know, the Hall of Fame, it ain't the same no more, man. It's a participation trophy, man.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about Steve Wilks, man, getting fired.
Oh man, Steve Wilks, man. Look, like you said, somebody had to be the fall guy for that job. It's Wilks, man. But we said earlier, though, that 49 fans weren't really happy with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we need 49 fans. We call them up. Everybody saying the same thing.
I know, man, but...
Somebody got to take the downfall for that.
Man. Somebody got to. But then again, nobody else, too. Y'all lost as a team. Like, the players play. They didn't make play. Shanahan take... responsibility for not having your team prepared and for making the wrong call in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you already heard that the Chiefs went over overtime rules for 5 weeks.
Yep.
And knew the game plan. So what they were saying is it didn't matter if they took the ball or not. If they scored, if we took the ball, we was going to score. Well, we was going to try to score.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we were behind and we needed a touchdown, we were going to go for 2 to win. Like, we weren't giving them the ball back to kick a field goal. So whenever it got to sudden death,
mm-hmm.
like, we wasn't going to allow it to get to sudden
right.
death. Like, we was going to try to win it.
Okay.
And Andy Reid was confident that he had a play that he can convert.
He probably going to call the same play.
And maybe he was. That might have been the money play.
I'm going to tell you what.
That looked like the money play.
That's the Hunter Renfro route.
Yep. It looked like the money play.
The Renfro route.
He was going to run that play. To win the game. That's the play you call to win.
You know that play unstoppable, though. That route is unstoppable.
It looked like it's unstoppable.
That zone is unstoppable.
It looked like it's unstoppable.
Sooner or later, somebody going to start faking and going across that middle. They ain't going to cut back.
What's funny is, I mean, it's the way the Chiefs overload that side, put 2 or 3 or 4 guys on one side, and make you defend them all. Andy Reid has figured that out, that it's undefendable. Because it's funny how they weren't really looking for that to develop. They thought that the 49ers were going to cover Hardman. And that would open Kelce up. Or Mahomes would have had a lane to run it in. Right? That's they just added the whole motion to it. But it was the same RPO look.
Yeah.
And Kelce was like, oh, I see my guys right here in front of me. So that means they're guarding me. So I know he's open. So he's looked at the Jumbotron. Like, there he is. He got to be open. Because when you count the guys over there, there's only three. Two of them bracketing him. So that means that he's got to be open one-on-one. So he just looked at the Jumbotron like, yep, game over. He had to catch it. Or either Mahomes is coming running right down my back to the end zone. But the thing about it is nobody really, well, people know now, but everybody's thinking, uh-oh, time is clicking. I mean, time is ticking.
Right.
This is about to be over. And she's, you know, you just go to the next quarter.
Right.
You just flip the field and continue on. And that was first down, second down, because I think we ran it before then. So we was would have flipped the field. We still would have had two downs to score.
Exactly.
Right? And over...
49 was unprepared, man. And the fact that Vegas even had a bet out there that it was going to be a double overtime game was crazy. That started picking up steam. And then this game just, I'm like, oh my God. Typical in the works. What about Usher, man?
Man, I felt. What
about that show?
I felt the show was good. I think I saw a post somewhere that somebody was close to camp that said they knew Lil Jon was going to be there. So that meant if Lil Jon was going to be there, they was going to sing the song to mean Ludacris was going to be there. Because they said they heard Lil Jon was going to be there. So if you play Lil Jon's song, then every song, I think every song Lil Jon is on, Ludacris is on. So that meant Ludacris was going to be there, which he was.
JD.
If they there, then you know JD is there. Alicia Keys was the one that nobody knew.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one that surprised me.
Her playing
the guitar. The two ladies were the two wild cards for me. But I thought it was excellent. I thought he did a good job of mixing the dance moves, singing the right amount of medleys. We heard he was going to mix in the skating, which he did.
Real A-time.
And then what got me was the icing on the cake. When he pulled the pose out.
Oh, yeah.
The stripper pose at the end. When he had the ladies on the stripper. I'm like, okay, we're going to keep it gangster.
Hey,
we're keeping it all real.
He said, I brought the A to Vegas, baby.
Brought it to Vegas. Which everybody that's been to them clubs, strip club down there, know what it's like.
Oh, yeah.
And when he did that, I'm like, oh, hands down.
Hands down.
Is it one of the top? I think it's... Beyonce.
Is it better than last year's?
Beyonce. I think it's better than Rihanna. I think it's better than Rihanna. Now, some of the ladies I talk to don't think it is, but I think it's better than Rihanna. You still got Prince, you got Beyonce.
Yeah.
Those are up there. I think it's top three
Jim
or four.
Jackson.
Three or four. I'm going to give it top three, maybe four.
Ooh.
Janet Jackson and JT, just based on what happened with the breast falling out, you kind of give that one a little bit more love. But when you think of the performance, all the songs that were played, you know, you can't overlook the LA Super Bowl with Dre and the whole Death Row thing. Yeah. Like, that was fire at that time. So I give him top four or five for sure.
You know, next year it's in New Orleans.
I know.
Lil Wayne. Ooh, it's going to be Mardi Gras time? That might be the hottest ticket.
Might be.
That might be the hottest ticket next year.
It might be.
Mardi Gras, Super Bowl. Oh. Lil Wayne said he wouldn't perform next year at the halftime.
He did?
Yep. That'd be interesting.
It would be. Because I don't. So, if you do Wayne, you can't just do Wayne.
You have to bring cash money.
You got
to
do all the cash money. And then,
you gotta bring
No Limit. Like, you gotta figure out to get all of that involved. Like, you can't just do Wayne. He's not the only representative
of New Orleans.
So how do you? And how does the NFL? First of all, this is where it goes. How does the NFL allow all that down south trap music on a halftime show? Right? I just don't know if that'll happen.
I don't know.
I think Lil Wayne is so much of a star in mainstream, they allow him because he can tone it down. But I don't see how you allow the rest of that, all those other people.
I don't think you let him in there.
In a family-ish type show. Even though we just saw stripper poles out there. But what else do they do? Right? Because Usher has creativity.
Yeah.
He brought creativity to this thing.
What?
Ain't no creativity to the Hot Boys and No Limit. There's no creativity there. They're not creative at all. They just got banging songs. And they haven't showed you on tour right now. Mm-hmm. When No Limit was out, they weren't creative. They just brought 50 Negroes on stage and sang the songs.
Dang, No Limit.
Right? Hot Boys ain't even went on tour yet. They talking about it. But you can imagine they ain't going to do anything creative. I mean, like, Usher was creative. Like, his residency is creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You get a variation of things. And then you throw in the ladies on the poles. But it's part of the creativity, so it's accepted. I just don't see what neither one of those camps are going to do that's creative. That should give them airtime for a Super Bowl show when you got however many people looking at that show. Right? You're going to have all of America looking at that. That's, I don't know.
Well, Wayne, I mean, you cannot have Wayne.
Wayne could be a guest of the marquee person.
Ooh.
Right? Whether that's, you know, Usher, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, whoever.
That'd be bogus.
They can bring him out as a guest. That'd be bogus. But he can't be the headliner. He ain't got enough to headline. He don't have enough creativity to be the headliner.
Mm.
He doesn't do anything but sit there and rap songs, right? He doesn't dance. He doesn't perform. So you need an entertainer. If you notice, halftime shows, for the most part, are entertainers. They do more than just sing and rap. Except for Dre, right? But they had a variation of
it. Yeah, they had creativity.
Right. They'd had it. Like, I haven't seen Lil Wayne do that.
No Weezy in Louisiana? Yeah, that's a problem.
No, bro. They're going to find somebody else from down there.
Man, it's been a pleasure this year, man. Doing go. Yeah.
It's been another good year.
Yeah.
I mean, since this podcast has been on wax, it's been good for your boy. I can tell you that.
Ever since I did this, the cheese been good.
You came right on at the right time with this idea. You know what I mean? It's been good for your boy. We got to keep it going.
Now, if this dynasty keep coming up.
This dynasty, boy, it's here, boy. Dynasty's here. Can't take it away.
Man, we'll be back. We'll be back in, what is that? September.
Yeah, when we get on August, maybe.
August, yeah.
When we start talking.
If y'all want to do a little, we're going to do something in the summer.
No, we need a poll, right. Draft,
little free agency.
Maybe we switch over to basketball, but shoot. You know what I mean?
That's too many games, basketball.
There's a lot of games. We got college. Yeah, maybe draft time. We normally come on.
Draft time. Y'all know the drill.
Yeah.
Y'all know the drill. Yeah, I know what it's about to be. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to Cam, man. Cam's the guy, man.
That's a producer, the mixer. He does all the work behind the scenes. Shout out to Cam.
Much love, Cam.
Go to go. Love y'all.
Love y'all, man. Y'all stay up, and you made it all the way down to the end zone. Make sure you keep listening. Make sure you share, rate, and subscribe. Say it with me now, y'all. You just went go to go.